Hey, good morning, Restoration. We are so glad that you chose to worship with us online this morning. Listen, if this is your first time worshiping with us, or maybe you're new to Restoration, my name is Joe, and I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I want to especially welcome you this morning. Hey, I know this is a really crazy time we find ourselves in, but I want to paint you a picture really quick. I want you to think for just one moment about all the families. All the families that are gathering in their homes right now in this very moment. Not only that, families that are gathering in their homes throughout this entire day, get this, to worship God in their homes. People are going to be gathering to listen to this service and other services, and people are going to gather to worship God because they know this. They know that we serve a God who saves. He saves us through sending his son Jesus Christ and brings meaning to our lives. And so we gather. And I want you to remember this morning is that we are united as brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, I want to share a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." That means everyone who is gathering to worship this morning, they're worshiping in the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. So I pray that as you're gathering with your family there in your living rooms this morning, I pray that you would lift your voices and worship God this morning.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfires. Singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies, and these hallelujahs be multiplied.
I'm going to sing this morning, church. Sing, your love is like radiant diamonds. Here we go.
Your love is like radiant diamonds. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfires, singing your name.
God of mercy.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. Hallelujahs be multiplied.
God of mercy, here we go.
And God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered. These hallelujahs
Amen. Good morning, Restoration. I really love that song. It's been a long time favorite of mine, and I think it's just because I love the idea of our hallelujahs being multiplied, of it starting in one place and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I know right now it seems like, some forms of communication have been lost, but we can still allow our hallelujahs to be multiplied. Every time you tell somebody about God's goodness, every time you tell somebody about what God has done for you, every time you say the word hallelujah, praise the Lord, it can be multiplied. I got a phone call last night from a good friend of mine whose niece is in ICU. She's had heart problems all her life. But she was staring down open heart surgery this morning. And we prayed and we prayed, and our church prayed, Restoration prayed for this girl. And this morning they were able to avoid that open heart surgery. And now we're saying, hallelujah, how good is our God? I want to remind you, I want to encourage you that God is good no matter what. No matter what is going on in your life, God is good all the time and He is unchanging. Let's sing about how good our God is this morning.
Holding on. When the night You know, I was raised here in the South, and I can remember spending time with my granddad as a young man. I'm talking like 7, 8, 9 years old. Now, keep in mind, at that time as an elementary student, I was not following Christ, and neither was he, but I was spending time with my grandfather. Maybe you remember that as well. I remember specific times in his car. He had one of those cars where you had to turn the knob to get from the AM to the FM, and you move the stick down the dial, you know, that kind of deal. And I remember just for entertainment purposes, we would land on that radio preacher. Remember the guy? The guy who would be spitting hellfire and brimstone, you know, and then all of a sudden he would get to that word. The word saved. And it just amazed me as a young man. Like, how does a guy take a one-syllable word, saved, and turn it into 13 syllables? You know, like, saved, that kind of deal, right? And I remember even, like, with my grandmother surfing the channels, and we'd kind of land on the TBN network. You know what I'm talking about? The religious network where there was that woman with the big hair and looked like a paintball exploded in her face, and her husband was a televangelist. And he would do the same thing when he got to the word saved. And I just remember as a young man thinking, why emphasize the word save so much? And what are we saved from? What does it even mean? Maybe you too can experience or remember the experiences of driving down the backwoods or the back roads of South Carolina, I-95 or 26 for that matter, and seeing those awkwardly placed Jesus save signs. I just remember thinking, again, as a child, what are we saved from and why is it such a big deal? But you know, as I've learned a little bit more about who God is and I've given my life to Christ, as I look at it, I think there is no better word to describe what God has done for you and I through Jesus on the cross than the word saved. Hey, listen, I'll dive more into that this morning. Before I do that, though, let me say good morning, Restoration. Thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us online. Listen, if this is your first experience with Restoration Worship, thank you so much. My name's Adam. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm thankful that you've tuned in, and I'll be praying that God will meet you directly where you're at this morning. Listen, church, I am so thankful to be the pastor of Restoration Community Church. I'm grateful that God has given me this privilege. Listen, each week as I preach in front of an empty room and stare awkwardly into this camera, I grow more and more in love with you and miss you that much more. But listen, one of the things that I've noticed is that as we continue to kind of journey through this ever-changing new normal, right? You're looking at the news, I'm looking at the news, waiting for the news to change. Our God has not changed, and our mission at Restoration Community Church has not changed. The mission to make and equip disciples of Jesus who love, lead, and serve. Now listen, here's what I'm proud of, and here's what I'm going to celebrate next month with you. On May 23rd, we are going to celebrate believers' baptism. Now, hopefully we'll do that at Isle of Palms or Sullivan's Island, but depending on the local laws at the time, we may have to do a pool, but nonetheless, we will celebrate God still fulfilling the mission of making and equipping disciples here at Restoration Community Church. But here's where I'm a little concerned. One of the major parts of our mission is the equipping disciples to go make new disciples. And Restoration has always equipped primarily in community groups and huddles. Now, listen, I know it's different, and I know it feels different to be virtually connected. But at the same time, in this time of extreme isolation and extended isolation, I think it's more important than ever for our church to be connected to one another. So listen, I'm going to challenge you, and I want to encourage you. If you were part of a community group, but you've kind of, you know, found a reason or two not to be part of one, let me just ask you to engage, to re-engage with your community group. If you were part of a huddle, but not anymore, let me ask you to re-engage. And if you've never been part of one, listen, I'm telling you, there's no better time than right now to engage in community group. And let me encourage you, community group leaders and community group participants, reach out to those people who God has placed in your life and ask them to join you. Listen, we must be connected. We must be connected because, again, this is where we equip the saints. We equip at Restoration Community Church, primarily in community groups and huddles. If you're like, okay, well, how do I be part of one? How do I get connected to one? Go to our website, lifeatrestoration.com. You'll see the little buttons for huddles, a little button for community groups. Click that button, and that'll initiate the process, and we will get you plugged in. Listen, as we continue to be on mission, as we continue to make and equip disciples of Jesus who love, lead, and serve, as I mentioned for the past 2 weeks, you and I find ourselves in a brand new time, an unprecedented time where we are having conversations. Everyday conversations. Conversations in our neighborhood with our neighbors, conversations at our workplace, conversations even at the grocery store. We're having everyday conversations still. And I believe we are at a unique opportunity. We have a unique opportunity to be used by God. And as we are deliberate and intentional of taking those everyday conversations and transforming them in the gospel conversations. What we envision as church leaders, we envision you engaging in these relationships and engaging these conversations. And as you're talking to your neighbor or your coworker, and they're revealing to you their brokenness, they're sharing with you their hurt, their pain, the marriage trials, the financial struggles, the issues of forgiveness or past pains, as they're revealing that to you, that's your opportunity to transition. To transition that conversation from an everyday conversation to a gospel conversation. 2 weeks ago, we introduced to you this tool right here, the Three Circles tool. Now, we want you to use this. And the way I envision this happening is you're talking to your neighbor, your coworker, your family member, and all of a sudden you're at that part of the conversation where you can transition, where you can say, listen, I am so sorry for your hurt. I am so sorry that you're experiencing what you're going through. But if you don't mind, can I share with you what's given me power to forgive? What's given me the power to heal? Can I share with you what God has done in my life? And what I envision you doing is taking a napkin or a sheet of paper, a crayon and a pencil, and I envision you writing these three circles and starting with the first one, God's design. Sharing with them that God never intended for them to go through the pain they're going through. God never intended them to experience loss or heartache or betrayal. That God never intended that. That part of God's original design was that he would impact every area of our life and there'd be perfect harmony between us and him, us and each other, that we'd find meaning and measure in our work. Everything was as it should be in God's design. As we've said the past 2 weeks, but sin. But sin enters the world and totally destroys God's original design. God's original design for our lives with him, God's original design for our lives with each other and for work. And that ultimately leads to brokenness. And brokenness, again, is where you're going to be able to connect that conversation and transform that conversation from an everyday conversation to a gospel conversation. When we have the brokenness, right, and we draw our circle for brokenness, and we draw our four squiggly lines, and again, we can say, hey, these squiggly lines represent our own efforts to fix our own brokenness. Religion, relationships, career, money, hiding our brokenness through alcohol abuse or any kind of substance abuse. That's where we're going to say, listen, none of that works. And what's worked for me, and I think the only thing that'll work for you, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to look at today as we look at Ephesians chapter 2. And listen, I want all the followers of Christ to lean in and to be equipped today, because today we're going to look at the totality of the problem. We're going to look at the totality of the bad news and the totality of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before we do that, though, let me open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, I just pray that you would guide us in your word, Lord, that the scriptures would come alive this morning, Lord, that your spirit would be at work and that our church, Lord, would be equipped to take the power and the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world, to those people who are far from you but close to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that all of us at Restoration Community Church would have a full understanding of the depth of our problem, the depth of our spiritual deadness, Lord, but also the beauty of the gospel, Lord. Make it come alive to us today, Lord. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and thanks when you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 today. If you're new to all this, Ephesians is in the New Testament. It's a book. It's actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul. And he writes this letter to a church at Ephesus, a town called Ephesus some 2,000 years ago. And what he's doing is he's teaching these new believers, this group of Christians, what it is to follow Christ. And he starts out his letter by explaining who God is, and then what salvation is, and then how to walk in this new life as a follower of Christ. Now, next week, we're actually going to start a brand new series called Walk This Way, and we're going to look at what it does look like practically to follow Jesus, to make life decisions differently because of Jesus. But today, I really want us to focus on the gospel, the totality of the gospel. And what I want you to see right up front is Paul is going to blow up two commonly held myths right from the get-go. You ready for this? The first myth he's going to blow up is this myth, that the problem, the sin, the evil in the world is out there. You know what I'm talking about. You see, so many of us think the problem is with them, whoever them is. Them could be the Democrats. Them could be the Republicans. It could be China. It could be Cuba. Them is out there. It's the liberals. It's the conservatives. It's my neighbors down the street. It's my in-laws. It's my children. Them, they're the problem. Paul says, no. The problem is you. We're actually going to see that in verse 1. The problem is you. And then he's going to dispel this myth as well, that we're good people who occasionally lose our way. Paul's going to say, no, we're not good people who occasionally get lost. No, we are spiritually dead people. It's going to be super discouraging for the first 5 minutes, but it's going to get better after that, I promise. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. I want to stop right there. Listen, His audience is followers of Christ. His audience are people who have already placed their faith and trust in Jesus. Listen, I would imagine this morning that there are plenty of people who are watching this morning who are investigating, who are trying to figure this stuff out, who have some questions that aren't answered yet, and you're just trying to maybe kick the tires of Christianity. I want you to know I'm thankful for you. I'm asking you to listen for the next 15, 20 minutes, and then at the very end of that, I'm going to ask you a very pointed question, so stay with me. But if you're a follower of Christ, this is who Paul's talking to. He says, as for you, and three times, he says, you, you, and your. Again, blowing up the myth that they're the problem. No, the problem is you. The problem is me. And then he says this, that we're spiritually dead. We are spiritually dead. You know, the University of South Carolina did a study recently, and only an institution of their academic prowess could come up with this research. They found that 100% of dead people were fully dead. It was a crazy research. Only they could get credit for it. But here's what they found, that no one was partially dead, and dead people can't do anything to heal their own brokenness. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying that you were spiritually dead. Listen, I'll give you an illustration that'll prove this point, right? From the womb, we're this way, right? From birth, we're this way. I'm a father of three. I got a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And at one time or another, all of them ate their food in a high chair. And I can remember giving them food, or Katie giving them food that they didn't approve of. And they, you know, kind of slapped the high chair, or even worse, sometimes, didn't happen often, but sometimes they'd kind of swipe the plate right off to the floor. Now, they didn't learn that from watching me. Katie doesn't give me a plate of peas, and I kind of slam the table and then push the plate to the floor. I don't do that anymore. I stopped doing that a long time ago. The reality is they didn't learn that from me. They don't see me taking the remote control out of Katie's hand and running around the house screaming, mine, mine, mine. No, it's just in them. And I can say, my children are evil, and you say, yeah, mine too. The reality is, so are you, and so am I. The Apostle Paul says, you were dead in your transgressions. Verse 2 says this, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. This gets very wordy, and it gets very, very unpopular. Watch this. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What in the world does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul is saying in layman's terms is that from birth, you and I, listen, we are sons and daughters of disobedience. We are controlled by the prince of the power of this air, which means Satan. And I just want you to know right up front, I know that's not popular. I know that even sounds a little weird. I get it. But this is the word of God, and I believe it's true. And what he is saying is that from birth, you and I don't have any choice but to be surrendered to Satan himself. Now, let me explain the big problem with Satan. In Isaiah tells us that Satan used this term 5 times. I will ascend to the heavens. I will ascend to the throne of God. He said, I will 5 times. The problem is right from birth, you and I are always screaming, I will, I want, my way or the highway kind of deal. As opposed to Jesus, who in the garden said, not my will, but your will, Father. Big difference. And the problem is from verse two is teaching us that we are subject to the power of this world, which is Satan. Verse 3 says this, it gets even worse. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of God? Nope. By nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. Let me explain the total depravity that we find ourselves in. Let me explain the totality and the depth of the crisis we find ourselves in. You see, our biggest issue in our brokenness isn't our marriage. It isn't our financial issues. Our biggest issue is that we are separated from God because of our sin. And the Apostle Paul says, because of that, you are subject to his wrath. Listen, what verse 3 is saying is that before Christ, my mind and my body, it called the shots. When my mind said, hey, Adam, you deserve better. Go ahead and get angry and blow up. Well, that's what I did. When my mind said, hey, Adam, you deserve to be treated better than that. What you should do is get vengeance. Then we did. When my body says eat, we eat. When my body says have sex, we have sex at all costs. You see, we're controlled by our mind and our body before Jesus is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And that makes us subject to God's wrath. It makes us deserving of God's wrath. Why do I say all this? Because listen, this shows very clearly, I don't need Jesus to be my coach. I don't need Jesus to be my buddy. I don't need him to be my life coach to tell me how to be a better version of me. No, that's not what I need. I need Jesus to rescue me. I need Jesus to redeem me, to restore me, to make me brand new. I need him to save me. Listen, if you don't understand the depth of our problem, lean in. you're never going to love the gospel. In fact, you'll never share it either. If you don't understand the immense condition you were in before and the reality that you were subject to God's wrath, you will never love the gospel. Can I just be very honest with you? Because the gospel is pretty inconvenient. Let me explain. You see, if I don't understand the totality of my problem and somebody says, hey, Adam, you want to go to heaven? Believe in Jesus. Okay, sign me up. Hey, Adam, that means you're going to have to lay down your life. What? That means, Adam, you're going to have to lay down your dreams. What do you mean? I got plans. I want to pursue the American dream. Hey, Adam, if you're going to follow Jesus, then you're going to have to give him control of your money because he has ways of doing that too. Wait a minute. What do you mean? You see, the gospel is pretty inconvenient unless you understand what the gospel saves you from. Then you fall in love with it. Then it becomes something you must share. Listen, I'm telling you the bad news because you can't understand the good news and appreciate the good news until you understand the bad news. It's been pretty depressing so far, I get it, but thank you for not tuning off or shutting down your computer because it's about to get much, much better. Verse 4 starts with two words. John Stott says it's the greatest two English syllables put together ever. Ready? But God. But God. Let that sink in just for a minute. We were dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, subject to God's wrath, but God. Beautiful. Beautiful. Verse 4 continues, says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us. I've said before, imagine a dump truck. Imagine a dump truck being driven by God. In the back of that dump truck is all of his love and mercy and grace. And he just dumps that bad boy on you. You see, salvation isn't some cold, systematic formula. No, no. Salvation is motivated and generated by God's love for you. Beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture. It gets better. Verse 5 says this, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Here's the deal. The gospel, essentially, in four words, is Jesus in my place. What the Apostle Paul is saying is God intervened on our behalf and he sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross. And on that cross, Jesus took my sins and he took your sins and he paid for them. He suffered a brutal death. He paid for them and he took him to the grave for 3 days. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to make a statement. It's going to sound kind of arrogant. You ready? I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven, but it has nothing to do with me. You see, what the beauty of the gospel is that on the cross, there was a great exchange. You see, Jesus took my sin and he gave me his righteousness. And because of that, God has placed me right next to him, seated at the right hand of the Father. What that means is that when Jesus looks at Adam Spurlock, he is looking at me through the eyes of the Son. When God the Father looks at Adam Spurlock, he is looking at me through the eyes of the Son. So he sees Jesus when he sees me. Tell me that's not the greatest exchange of all time, my sin for his righteousness. Do you have that same claim? Do you have that same peace? Do you know that you too are going to spend one day in eternity in the presence of God? Not because of you, but because of Jesus. I want you to see what Paul does when he sums up the gospel here in chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Let me encourage you, if you've never read this before, or if you don't have it memorized, let me encourage you to memorize this. It's a great summary of the gospel. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, for it is by grace you have been, there it is, saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Let me give you the cliff notes of those two amazing verses, and we could spend all day on those verses right there. Number one, it gives us the basis of salvation. And the basis of salvation is grace. Listen, I want you to understand that it's more than forgiveness. See, forgiveness gets us even. It gets us at zero. Grace, like we said last week, absorbs evil and gives good. That's what we saw on the cross. You see, the basis of salvation is grace. Now, the avenue of salvation is faith. Let me put it this way. If grace is the destination, if salvation is the destination, then faith is the highway by which we get there. Faith, the avenue, is the avenue of salvation, is faith. Scripture says in that verse that we just read that both of these are gifts from God. So the basis of salvation is grace. The avenue of faith, of salvation is faith. And the result of salvation, easy for me to say this morning, is good works. Now, here's why I want you to see this on the screen. Because so many people that you're talking to in everyday conversations, that you're transforming into a gospel conversation, they're going to start backwards. They're going to start backwards. They're going to try to heal their brokenness by good works. And they're going to try to muster up enough faith that they're actually going to earn God's grace at some time. No, 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 no. That's not how it works, the Apostle Paul says. He says, no. You're saved by grace through faith. Not the amount of your faith, not the strength of your faith. Don't miss this. But by the object of your faith. By your faith in Jesus Christ. And now because I'm saved, because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, now I'm going to go do good works as I follow Jesus. Listen, let me summarize it this way. Let me bring this whole series to a conclusion as we talk about everyday conversations being transformed into gospel conversations. You see, again, we hope that you'd be engaged with your neighbors. We would hope that you'd be engaged with your coworkers and having those conversations. And again, at this point in the conversation, when they reveal their brokenness to you, we're going to grab our sheet of paper. We're going to grab our crayons and our pencils. And I want you to actually do it right now. And I want you to imagine you're having that conversation. And then this week, I'm actually going to challenge you to have one of those conversations. Maybe it starts with your spouse. Maybe it starts with your child. Maybe it starts with your next door neighbor. I don't know, but I'm going to challenge you to have an everyday conversation this week and turn it into a gospel conversation. And again, like we practiced last week, we're going to use a transition statement or a transition question to take it from an everyday conversation into a gospel conversation. Mr. Neighbor, I am so sorry you guys are going through this financial crisis. I'm so sorry that this world is the way it is and that as a result, you have been laid off. I'm so sorry. But can I tell you what God has done in my life to bring about peace in these situations? Can I tell you how I've overcome fear and uncertainty? And all of a sudden, now I've transitioned the conversation to a gospel conversation, and I'm going to get my pencil, and I'm going to get my crayon, and I'm going to get my sheet of paper, and I'm going to draw my first circle. And my first circle is going to start with God's design. You know, God never intended you to go through with this. God never intended for your work to have no meaning. In fact, God's design was to bring meaning and measure and purpose to your entire life, to every relationship in your life. And then I'm going to tell them about sin and how sin has entered the world. I'm going to use what we learned last week in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 and how sin leads to brokenness. And I'm going to draw my second circle. And I'm going to say, this is where I'm meeting you right now in conversation. You've just told me about your brokenness. I've been there before. I can relate. I understand. And I'm going to draw my four squiggly lines. And I'm going to say, listen, Mr. Neighbor, these lines represent our own efforts to fix our brokenness. And depending on who you're talking to and how they're trying to fix their own brokenness might determine how you describe those four squiggly lines. Maybe it's substance abuse, maybe it's career, maybe it's idolatry, maybe it's self-help, self-improvement, self-glorification, I don't know. But I'm going to take the conversation to the gospel. I'm going to draw my third circle, and I'm going to say, listen, here's the gospel of Christ. Now, our stories may be different. Our words may be different in each conversation, but listen, our gospel cannot be different. Our gospel has to be the same, and it has to be that sin has separated us from God. But God loved us so much to send Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross for our sins. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, proving that he was God, proving that he had authority over life. And now I come to the point, to the conversation, and you will too, where you say, would you believe this? Would you believe? Would you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And would you believe? And if they say, I do believe, then I'm going to ask them, would you repent of your sins? Would you repent of trying to fix your own brokenness? And would you turn? And then I would say, would you follow Christ? And if they say, yes, I would, I'd spend some time praying with them. And then I would say, listen, let me just tell you what happened. God has restored you to a right relationship with himself. God has restored you to a right relationship with himself. And why he's got you here, he wants to use you as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He wants to use you as a representative as he builds his kingdom right here on earth. And now you are part of his kingdom as you help build it as well and as he works through you. And at this point, we celebrate, we maybe pray some more, and then I point him toward baptism. Listen, church, I want you to imagine something right now. You see, in 5 or 10, 15, 20 years, we'll look back at COVID-19 in 2020. And we'll just imagine what we'll look back and say, what did God do through the church? Was it a significant time at all for the church? Or did the church rise up? Was the church awake? And was the church on mission? And do we see God move in amazing ways? Let me ask you this, Restoration. Could you imagine your neighborhood being transformed during this time because you're willing and every believer in your neighborhood's willing to have an everyday conversation and make it a gospel conversation? Could you imagine the hope that your neighborhood would have, the peace that would come over your neighborhood? Let me ask you this. Maybe you can't imagine your neighborhood. Can you imagine your street? What if you took it upon yourself to own the lostness on your street? This week, would you at least start prayer walking your street? This week, would you be so bold as to pray that God will give you an opportunity to have an everyday conversation with the neighbor? And could you imagine your street being transformed by the gospel? Listen, let me ask you to think a bigger picture. What if Hanahan, North Charleston, Somerville, the total Charleston area, the greater Charleston area, what if we look back 15 years from now, 20 years from now, and said, do you remember the COVID-19 quarantine? Do you remember how the church thrived? Do you remember how God moved and God moved in me, through me, and through the church? Do you remember what a great time of awakening that was? See, I believe God wants to do that. And I believe he wants to use you. I believe he wants to use Restoration Community Church. The question is, will you allow him? Listen, if you're reviewing today and 25 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, you weren't a follower of Christ. You were seeking, you were investigating, you were looking for answers to your questions, but something's happened. You now recognize your brokenness and where you stand before God, and you know that the only cure for that is your faith in Jesus Christ. Would you place your faith in Jesus Christ today? Would you repent of your sins and invite him to be your Savior and your King? Would you do that today? And if you would, let me ask you to do me a huge favor. Would you go to lifeatrestoration.com and would you click the button that says, I want to get baptized? Now, don't freak out. That's just going to initiate a conversation. And I would love to have a conversation just to hear what God's doing in your life. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for you, church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the gift of grace. And I thank you for the gift of faith and the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross. Lord, may Restoration Community Church fall in love with the gospel. May we fall in love with the gospel because we recognize our brokenness and we recognize our sin before you, and we know that makes us subject to your wrath without Jesus. Lord, as we fall in love with the gospel, may it be something we see as important enough to share with the people who we love, who are far from you but close to us. Lord, may you use this time in quarantine of COVID-19. Lord, may you use this time to grow your church, to build your kingdom, and to grow the faith of your saints. Lord, I pray for anyone listening today who is wrestling with you, Lord. I pray that you would gently break them, Lord, and that they would cling to you for salvation, and they would cling to you for eternal life, Lord, for meaning in this life now, purpose in this life now, Lord. Would you awaken their hearts and breathe spiritual life into their heart? Lord, please use Restoration Community Church, Lord, to make much of you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Church, we're going to go into a time of prayer like we do every week. And I'm going to ask you to ask some bold prayers, to pray some bold prayers. Would you pray this week that you would be willing to have an everyday conversation and transform it into a gospel conversation? Would you pray that God will give you the boldness to initiate a relationship with someone who's far from God, but close to you, proximity, close to you at work, close to you relationally? Would you pray that God will use you to build his kingdom? Thank you.
Church, if you guys want to continue to pray with your family at home, please keep on doing so. Otherwise, we're going to sing one more song, and we're going to say hallelujah one more time. Let's go.
Are you hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Whoa. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Amen and amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in songs of praise this morning. Hey, listen, I pray that the messages you heard this morning was encouraging to you. And just like Pastor Adam said, if you're ready to take your next step, please go to lifeatrestoration.com. On our website there, you're going to find a place where you can connect in groups and even take your next step in baptism. Hey, listen, I pray that as we're going through this crazy time, that you would just take a moment to connect with other believers in Christ, that you would gather, yes, maybe virtually for a time, but that you would gather with the rest of the believers so that you can be encouraged, so that you can be strengthened, and so that you can be on mission during this time. Church, we love you. Have a great week. And remember, you guys are on mission.